Good morning. I welcome you to Broadway United Methodist Church on this Pentecost Sunday. If you are just now joining us online, make sure that you let us know you're here by commenting below or filling out that attendance link. You know, there was a time, like 200 and some odd years ago, that a small group met and drafted some sort of document that you may have heard of called the Declaration of Independence. Anyone ever heard of that before? Some of us? Yeah. And it seemed that liberty was on the forefront of the minds of our nation's founders. They wrote this. They said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights," right? "And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." But this idea is not just an American ideal. It didn't just originate with them. It's not only a few hundred years old, because in fact, before the drafting of the Declaration of Independence, thousands of years before, the Hebrew people suffered under bondage in Egypt, right? We hear that in the Old Testament text. And a guy named Moses came in, and God commanded him to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go," right? Liberate my people, free my people from bondage and slavery. They had been oppressed, and God called them to be free. And 1,000 years later, God's people again were under tyranny. They were oppressed by the Roman Empire and by the powers and principalities of the world. And so God sent this guy that we call Jesus, right? God sent Jesus to bring good news to the poor, to bring release to the captives, and to let the oppressed go free. These are not just ideals that we have. These are ideals that are founded on this very text that we come and we explore on Sunday morning and hopefully throughout the week, right? Some of us, maybe. But this idea of freedom harkens back all the way to Moses. And on Pentecost Sunday, we recognize that moment in Acts when we get the sending of the Spirit, right? But one of the things that we have to remember is on that Sunday, or on that day, not that Sunday, but on that day, whatever day of the week it was, the Jewish people who were gathered, the early church, they would have been there celebrating the Passover. The Passover, which commemorates that coming out of captivity in Egypt, right? That's why they were there. They were celebrating liberation and freedom. And so this time takes place about 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. And so over these past 50 days of Eastertide, we've been exploring all the things that happen after the resurrection of Jesus, right? They didn't just suddenly celebrate that Jesus had risen like we do on Easter morning. But in fact, what did the disciples do? They retreated, right? Because they thought that the government was coming for them next, that those in power were going to hang them on a cross next, that their lives were at risk. And so they weren't celebrating, they were running in fear. And then we hear that, you know, Jesus comes and he enters that room and he says, "Peace be with you," and he shows them his hands and his feet, and he sits with them on a beach, right? And he feeds them fish. And then he ascends to heaven. That's what we celebrated last week, that ascension moment when Jesus physically, his body, goes back to be with God. But today, the promise that Jesus offered in that final moment comes to fruition. Jesus promised his disciples and he promised us in that moment. He says, "Don't be afraid, guys. I'm going to send an advocate. I'm going to send someone to be with you so that you can go out and do my work." We're going to read from the book of Acts this morning, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Hear now the story of Pentecost. Do you have this text built today? Sweet. We're not only reading this text this morning. That's why I asked Jacob. The gospel writer Luke wrote the book of Acts also. So Luke says these words. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like a rush of violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. They were sitting in a room when the day of Pentecost had came and they were all together. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like a rush of violent wind. And it filled the house. Can you imagine for a moment being in that room? Just 50 days after you had witnessed the guy that you were following for these 3 years, you just watched him be crucified and die, and then he came back. So it's like a roller coaster, right, of emotion. And then you're called to be this new group to go and to make disciples. And they're sitting together wondering, what are we supposed to do now? Because if you remember back in Luke, Jesus had commanded them to go wait in Jerusalem. So they're listening to Jesus. They're going and they're waiting in the city. And they're celebrating this Passover time together. And suddenly the Spirit shows up. And it tells us that when the Spirit shows up, appeared to them a tongue, and they were able to speak in each other's languages as the Spirit gave them ability. So often throughout history, what has caused us not to be free, what has put folks in the hands of slavery has been differences, right? Misunderstandings, not growing together or learning from one another, but becoming divided based on different race or culture or language. By seeing another as less than ourselves. And so when the Spirit comes, suddenly they're able to understand one another. I want you to imagine for a moment having a conversation with someone you've never been able to speak to before because you've never been able to understand their language, because you've never been able to understand their point of view, because you didn't grow up the same way they did, or because you're from a different culture. The Spirit suddenly gives us the ability to recognize and to be in community with those who are different. That is the magic and the power of Pentecost, which is what we're celebrating today, the birthday of the church, right? This is when the church was born and started to go out and to share this wonderful message of Jesus Christ in the world. Now, one of the things that we clearly figure out if you keep reading on in the biblical text is people mess things up. That's human nature, right? We get directions. It's like directions on a test. Have you ever been a teacher and you're like, here's your directions, do this, and then the kids do the exact opposite, right? Like, I don't know how many times when I taught school, I was like, make sure you put your name on your paper. You know how many papers came back without names on them? I'm sure Mindy and Connie and Kim and other teachers in the room know the answer to that question. Because we just don't follow directions. We're not good at listening. We like to goof things up. And so all of these churches start to pop up. And then this guy named Paul comes around, right? He used to be called Saul. And then he meets Jesus on that road. and he's transformed. He goes from persecuting the church to leading the church. And Paul writes all these letters to different churches. And it seems as though they've forgotten this Pentecost message, that the Spirit has transformed them to do something new. And they are arguing with one another and fighting among one another and trying to figure out how is it that we follow this guy called Jesus. Something we still do today, right? Even though we have the letters from Paul, we still like to argue about stuff. And so Paul writes this letter to the churches in Galatia. This is the book that we've been looking at over the past, 4 weeks? And we started in chapter 1, and we've kind of moved our way through. Today, we're going to be looking at chapter 5. And I'm going to read today, I'm going to read our actual text for today from my New Revised Standard Version, but I want to start a little bit before that. There's a biblical translation called The Message. Have you ever heard it before? Some of you. So The Message isn't a literal translation. If you didn't know, the Bible was not written in English, right? The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament is written in Greek. And so biblical translators try to really look at that ancient text and say, how exactly does it translate literally from that language to our language? But The Message does something a little bit different. The guy who wrote it, his name is Eugene Peterson, he said this. He said, while I was teaching a class on Galatians, surprisingly enough, because if you didn't know, the book of Galatians is super confusing, he said, I began to realize that the adults in my class weren't feeling the same thing that I sensed when those who read it in the original Greek. And so, writing straight from the original text, I tried to attempt to bring into English the rhythms and the idioms of the original language. And so it's not a direct translation, but it tries to give you that same feel if you were Greek 2,000 years ago. So I'm going to read, starting in chapter 5, what Paul says to the church. He says, Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never let anyone put a harness of slavery upon you. Paul is saying that Christ came so that we could be free, so that we wouldn't have to be under subjugation to the law, but that we could be alive in Christ. And then he goes on later to say, it is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. But then he offers a warning. He says, just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. Do you hear that warning? Just because you're free doesn't mean you can go out and just do whatever you want. Freedom means that you are called to serve others, not just yourself. Back in this time, there were two kind of camps of people. There were those who believed that freedom offered them this license to do whatever they pleased, to do whatever felt good, and that what they did really didn't have much consequence at all. But Paul says, don't use your freedom for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. But then there was this other camp in the church in Galatia, and they thought it was imperative to adhere to the requirements of the religious rituals. And most significantly, circumcision, right? We've been talking about that for weeks and weeks and weeks. There was one group that believed you had to be circumcised, and there was another group that was like, I don't think so. And Paul's like, hey guys, remember this. Remember that the only thing that counts is faith working through love. So these two groups of people, and they're just fighting amongst each other. We don't see that happening today, right? Never. And so Paul responds to them and says, guys, real freedom doesn't mean doing whatever you want, but it also doesn't mean being bound by this law. It means that your actions should bring about that greatest commandment that Jesus offers to us, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. To be free really means to be liberated from this prison of ourselves, to move beyond self so that we can offer ourselves in service. Freedom means service in the way that Paul writes. And then when he goes on, he says, if you're really free, if you really live by the Spirit, it's going to show in your life. And he calls these the fruit of the Spirit. We've heard of those before, yes? The fruit of the Spirit. And so in Galatians chapter 5, Paul says this. He calls them the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. He says, live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposite of the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposite of the flesh. For these are opposed to one another, to prevent you from doing whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, fractions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It says, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another and envying one another. That's Paul's directions to us, to align ourselves with the Spirit. Because if we align ourselves with the flesh, this idea that freedom means we can do whatever we want, say whatever we want, go wherever we want, treat people however we want, that leads to works of the flesh. That leads to us doing things like idolatry and sorcery and strife and being jealous and creating anger and division. These are not things of the Spirit. When you see people going out and proclaiming the gospel, but then also doing these things, I sometimes question, is the Spirit really alive in that situation? Is the Spirit really alive in those words when they cause so much harm? She's loud, yeah. But Paul says the fruit of the Spirit are these nine things, right? I get that number right? And these are not things that we do, right? They're fruit, meaning they come from us because of the work that's happening in us. If the Spirit is there, if the Spirit is working, if we are responding to the grace that God is offering to us and growing in grace, then we will bear fruit. And this isn't like we have an orchard full of different types of trees, right? Like some of us are not gentleness trees. Some of us don't bear really good, juicy kindness, right? Like, you're not a strawberry and you're not an apple. We are all this tree that the Spirit is bearing fruit of. And it's not that we get better at one thing and then another. All of these things come to fruition as the Spirit works in us. They're kind of a package deal. It's not the fruits of the Spirit, right? You often hear people say that. It's the fruit. This is the one fruit that you get. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you practice freedom in Christ, not being ruled under the laws, the do's and don'ts, the blacks and the white, right, that's written in the text. But if you really feed into those means of grace that we talked about the first week of this series, right? If you live into that and grow in that, then this is the fruit you will bear. And it's not like a checklist where you can say, today I'm going to work on being kind. You can do that, right? That's a good thing. But it's probably not going to get you the right result. Instead, what you should be working on is, how can I grow closer? How can I align myself with the Spirit? Because if you do that first, then this is what will come out. If you love Jesus first, you will then be able to love your neighbor. If you align yourself with the Spirit, you will become a generous person. If you align yourself with God, you'll have joy and peace. That's what the fruit of the Spirit are all about. And so on this Pentecost Sunday, we pray for the presence of that Spirit, right? That Spirit that came in 2,000 years ago into that room where the disciples were, where they were told to wait after Jesus ascended. That Spirit that came in like a fire, a rushing wind. That's the Spirit we beckon. That's the Spirit that we want to live and breathe in us too. If you have bitterness or anger or envy or jealousy or drunkenness or whatever else is in that list of the works of the flesh, pray for the Spirit. Say, come, Holy Spirit, come. Work in my life, alive in me, so that I might be more like your Son. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks on this Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of your church. God, and we are just like that early church in so many ways. We keep dividing ourselves, tearing each other down. And God, you call us to build one another up, to create a bigger table, to create a table where we can hear and understand one another, even if we don't think the same or speak the same or act the same, oh God. But your Spirit is what unites us. God, cultivate us so that we can bear the fruit and share it with others. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.